Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on WTMR 800 AM, where the master reigns, and you're listening to Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And I'm flying high today because it's the start of football season, especially it's the Eagles are playing tonight. I'm a big fan of the Eagles. And so today I'm actually going to talk a little bit about faith in football and also weave in there, of course, the readings and the gospel for this coming 23rd Sunday of Ordinary Time. You know, I originally grew up in San Francisco in the glory days there of the 49ers. And so when I moved here to the Philadelphia region, I just fell in love with the town, with the sports team and the passion that everybody has here. And it really just fit well with my love for the Lord as well. You know, so being in this town of the city of brotherly love, you know, I just wanted to be able to share that passion with other people. And again, because, you know, it's the football, beginning of the football season here, and I hear some of the chants out there and people talking about, like, Happy Birds Day, you know, I just thought we should talk about it and include that with our discussion today or in this podcast or this radio show. And so, but before we go on, let's always give credit to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by praying the Our Father together. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So some of the topics also I'll be mentioning is about the cross, about is it right or wrong to wear it, and is there a proper way to wear the cross? What about calling people father? When we call priests father, is that wrong? Do we go against Scripture by calling priests father, or should we just call them reverend? And this ties in with the gospel and the readings today, but also it ties in with sports, because there's also part in the gospel that will talk about that we should not love our father and mother, brother and sister more than God. And so how does that work? Because we see how in different events, such as football, here that there's a family type of camaraderie and a brotherhood. And this is what's really it brings a lot of people together and a lot of good excitement. And so, you know, there's a quote that I wanted to bring here that I mentioned before from a Christian apologist and who, you know, is the author of many books. One particular series is The Chronicles of Narnia. And so you might be familiar with some of those books and the author C.S. Lewis. And he has this quote that actually I can tangentially tie it with the Eagles. Okay. And it goes like this. Here's this quote. It says, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." So how does that relate to football and faith? Well, the way I would look at it, as we know, you know, the Eagles started in 1933. And I love the 33 part because, you know, our Lord and Savior, you know, he died and rose from the dead and opened up the gates of heaven 1900 years before when the Eagles started, right? So 1933, the Eagles started, and they lost a bunch when they started in the beginning of their organization, and they stayed below 500 for many years, I think through the 70s, if I'm not mistaken, and then they made a turnaround somewhere in the 80s, I believe. And so they've been always considered as a whole for the history of their organization as a losing team. So, but tonight, if they win against the Cowboys, and here some people will say, what do you mean, Dr. Anton, if they win? They're going to win and they're going to blow them out. Well, yeah, I really hope so. And so, but today, if they win, they will be even as far as their win. So currently, if Grok is correct, I just asked Grok here, that it said the Eagles are 638 wins today, and they have 639 losses all time since 1933. Now, I hope Grok is not hallucinating, because, you know, sometimes it gives answers that are way off, just like ChatGPT and so forth. I'll even ask questions like, you know, what time is it or what day is it? And it can't even tell me that. So it'll be saying that, oh, it didn't update its information until 3 days ago. So it only has information of like 3 days ago. So hopefully this information is correct, but I'm trying to source it, that it's not me that's coming out with these numbers. It's from Grok, which is, I just asked here. So tonight, if the Eagles win, or we should really say when the Eagles beat the Cowboys tonight, they will be 639 wins to 639 losses, breaking even for the first time. And of course, we're going to think that they are going to have a great season and go back to the Super Bowl. And so how does this relate to that quote I just started? I just read from C.S. Lewis. And again, I'll read that quote again. It says, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. So the way I would look at that is, when the Eagles started back in 1933, they looked and acted like a losing team. Yes, they won the championship, what was it, in 48 and 49, and then, of course, went to the Super Bowl in the 80s and lost to the Raiders, and then in 2017 – you know, we won our first one in the Super Bowl era. And then a couple of years later, you know, we lost, right? And then now we won again. So this is great. So what the point is that the beginning, the view of the Eagles was they were historically a losing team. But yet we in Philadelphia area, we bleed green. We love the Eagles. Win or lose, but of course we show our passion when they don't do well, and when they do well, we show the love that we have for them. And you know, you might even hear that story about when they dropped the banner, or the World Series championship banner for the 2017 Super Bowl. By halftime, the crowd was booing the Eagles. So who knows what's going to happen tonight, all right? If when they unravel the banners, the team, I understand, is not even going to be present on the field, because it's before when the teams normally come out. So they won't actually see the banner drop. And so who knows what's going to happen in, you know, halftime if the Eagles stink and the crowd is going to boo them this time as well. So my point is that in the beginning, they were a losing team, but now, because of our great fortune of having, you know, great drafts, great coaches, you know, and great management, you know, Howie Roseman and great owner, and Jeffrey Lurie and such, and great coach. So Nick Sirianni, and of course, the great players. That, yes, they can start where they are and change the ending. In other words, that we can be forever known as a championship team. And so how does this relate to our faith? So you think about it. In your life, whenever you were born, let's say you were born in 1933. Let's say you were born in 1963. Let's say you were born in 1993. Whatever year you're born, let's say – in your life, whether you had a hard life, whether you were born with a disability, whether you were born poor, whether in a family that was poor, whether you were born where your father left you, or it was in an alcoholic household, right, where things were in such turmoil, or whether you lived a relatively happy life and there was nothing, you know, great that happened that seemed life-changing. Well, you can't go back to that beginning to change it. That the past is past, as they say. But again, here C.S. Lewis says, but you can start where you are. So like today, right here, right now, you can change the ending. So if for some reason in your life, if you had, let's say, got married and then got divorced, or if you, you know, had an abortion and then you regretted that, or you lost your virginity and you can't get that back, but you can be chased, you can start where you are now and change the ending so that forevermore your reputation would be something brand new, shiny, and beautiful as gold. Now, which reminds me of the parable of gold. You know, at some of the retreats that I've given as a retreat director or a speaker at Malvern Retreat House or at various parishes, I would share how, you know, the goldsmith would melt gold, right? And he would try to purify it. And he would, as he melts the gold and he purifies it, on the top surface of the melted gold would be the impurities, or what's called dross. And the goldsmith would be able to skim off the dross from the surface of the melted gold. And then he would continue melting it, refining the gold in this fire, the refining fire. And he would repeatedly do that where, again, it would yield some impurities that would go to the top, the dross. He would skim off the dross and do it again until a certain point. But when would he stop is the question. How does the goldsmith know when to, you know, stop skimming the melted gold? Or how, the other question is, how does he know it's pure? You know, as pure as it can be. You know, whether it's 24 karat gold, I don't know what the percentage is, that's like 99% gold or what have you. I'm no expert in that, but I'm guessing, let's say it would be that. So that it would go from whatever, you know, 14 karat, 18 karat, however they call the carats, to 24 carats. And so the point is, when will he know that it's pure? Well, supposedly, it's when the goldsmith, when he starts looking into the melted gold and he sees his reflection. In other words, that there's no more impurities, there's no more dross. And so in the same sense, in our life, God allows trials and tribulations. He allows crosses in our lives. So, and as a good father would, and a good parent, he also disciplines us. Now, only a parent can do so, can discipline his or her own child, right? You can't, it would be wrong to discipline somebody else's child without any kind of permission, you know, for sure, and then, you know, be accused of some sort of abuse or something, or some sort of cruelty, or, you know. And so anyway, my point is, a good parent would also discipline their child with love and with clarity too, to know what they're wrong, what they did wrong. So, but my point here is when the potter, or, you know, or the goldsmith rather, sees his reflection in the gold, will then he sees that the gold is pure. In the same way, when Christ himself looks at us, when he can see more of himself in us, that we reflect him like he's like we are a mirror reflecting him, then he knows that, yes, this person is acting more saintly, or is a living saint. And we've had living saints, haven't we? Right? We've had living saints with Pope John Paul II. And look, tomorrow would be the feast day of Saint Mother Teresa. And so, you know, people knew during their lifetime these were living saints. And so this is proof that a person can reflect God, that when you look at Mother Teresa, you look at Saint Mother Teresa or Saint John Paul II, that you don't necessarily see them per se. Yes, they have a charisma, this great personality, but you actually then start experiencing God through them. It's that reflection. So this is where you too can make today the place where you start, where you are, and you can change your ending. So whether, let's say, you're fed up with the anger that you have, that you lose your patience and you can't stop, you know, just going out in fits of rage. Or let's take the opposite, where you're so quiet and you can't express yourself or express the hurt or the pain or the loneliness you have. Or let's say that you had a divorce or even a second or a third, or you've had, you know, how many abortions, or you are just, or you're feeling lonely, you have no one to be with, or you're disabled or unemployed. This is where you could start today and change the ending, where essentially you can live happily ever after, so to speak. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to say that we're going to have to carry our cross. And in fact, this will go into the gospel for today. Okay. And Jesus tells us about that. And so the part where I'm saying is, you know, since this program today is about faith and football, that, you know, the Eagles changed their reputation and to the point where, because they won these two Super Bowls within, what is it, 7 years or is it 8 years, that now people are considering them as the favorite, and that like they have the best, you know, defensive line, offensive line in all the NFL and other parts, you know, that they have the best tandem receivers and so forth, and in defensive line. So all these things now. And so when they win today, so we're going to be finally breaking even. And then with a great season, we will be, you know, in the black and we'll be a winning team, but we already have that reputation as winners. So we live in a championship city, the city of brotherly love. We're filled with champions here. And so this is how we can become victorious. What I also wanted to say, what I love about football is, you know how some of these players, they talk about their brotherhood, and they talk about they're like a family. And they also pray together, and they wear a cross or a crucifix around their neck. And, you know, just like how some of these baseball players, what I always love is, you know, when the batter comes up to the plate and makes the sign of the cross, makes it once or twice, not as a superstition, but it's actually like a witness, isn't it? But like when one of these players, you know, when they get a touchdown, they will, you know, spike the ball, or, you know, they will make the sign of the cross, or they'll kneel down. I mean, you know, I remember Tim Tebow back in the day, you know, things like that. And to me, that shows courage. That shows guts. That yes, other people who don't believe in the faith, other people who are atheists or agnostics, or those who ridicule us Catholics, you know, or ridicule us for wearing a cross or a crucifix or believing in Jesus, that some people don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, he is Christ the King, and so we get mocked for this. But when we have the courage to do so, and people like such NFL pros here on the Eagles, when they do this, that, you know, it really speaks loud and clear on a national stage, if not international, just like last year. Remember how the Eagles went to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Tomorrow, of course, it'll be the Chiefs. I don't know who they're playing. I don't know if that's the Chargers or what other team. I could be wrong. But my point is, it gives witness, and I just love it when they win and they give credit to God Almighty. and they say something to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just remember this past summer when they named people on the 53-man roster, one of the players made it on the team. I'm trying to remember who he is, but I was just blown away how he said, oh, I think it's that new guy, Darius Cooper. So he was what you call a UDFA, an undrafted free agent, somebody that had like a zero star. In other words, nobody looked him over to draft him. He had like no star for his name. And he basically was a free agent that made a name for himself. And now he's on the team. So, you know, as a receiver, if I understand, I think his number is 23, like Michael Jordan's or something like that. Anyway, I think the first thing he did was thank Jesus. And some of these other players, that they thanked God. And it just gives insight to these players about they give credit where credit is due. That this is something that we really should remember, that any good that we do, really, it's not us doing it. It's really because God gave us the grace to bear good works, good fruits. So, and it's because of him that we're able to do good deeds. It's him that we're able to shine our light and not put it under a bushel basket. So, you know, some people think, oh, you Catholics are, you know, you think that you earn your way to heaven by doing good works. Actually, that's far from it. What we do, what I'm trying to help people understand is all the good works that we do are actually Jesus doing the works. It's actually his grace working through us so we could bear fruits to give evidence of the glory that of God, that it's really Jesus. There's nothing good that we can claim that we did it on our own. And that's why I just love any of these football players who give glory to God. Whereas anything that we do that's sinful, that's evil, that's a mortal sin, venial sin, that we can claim we did. So let me be clear again. Any good that we do, whether it's good works or good reputation, that's only because it's from God. The only thing that we can claim that we did is the mistakes, if we own up to it, the sin, the evil that we did, because we are the ones that actually made the choice with our own God-given free will and our God-given intellect. And these are the powers that God gave us more than the animals or anything else. And even this AI stuff, so I mentioned Grok a little while ago, or ChatGPT, all this artificial intelligence, they will never be human because they don't have the gift of God, which can only come from God, the gift of free will and the gift of intellect, okay? And this is a different, intellect is different from intelligence, all right, or being intellectual. In fact, the first reading from today is from the Book of Wisdom, and I'll get into that. But I just wanted to finish up this train of thought, and then we'll go for a break so in about 5 minutes. But my point here is that when you see these players, that when they win the Super Bowl, they win a championship, they're just making the team, that they thank God. And you know what? And also, they may even thank God even if they don't win. And which reminds me of the Bible character of Job. You know, it's spelled J-O-B, like it looks like the word job, but it's pronounced Job. But anyway, when he lost his 10 children, his grown children, his business, his cattle, his real estate, he actually still thanked God. He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the Lord. Now notice, when he said that, and I'm paraphrasing, he actually acknowledges that the Lord allowed it to be taken away. So if you have never read the book of Job, that, there was this essentially a contest that not a wager per se, but like a contest that the devil was trying to tell, what was saying to God, that the only reason why Job never curses God or is angry at God is because everything in his life is going well. In other words, the start of his life was so good, and the beginning of his life and the middle of his life and the current part of his life was going good. You know, unlike that quote I said to you earlier about you can't change the beginning, you can't go back to change the beginning, that quote. Anyway, so they had this wager is not the word I'm looking for, but the devil was given permission by God to go ahead and test, I think that's the better word, to test Job. And he said, God told the devil, you can go ahead and test him. That's not the exact quote, but I hope you know what I mean. You go ahead and test him, but you can't hurt him. And so the devil was on that leash, so to speak, and could not hurt Job. What's interesting, he didn't kill Job's wife, but the 10 children died, and he lost everything else pretty much. But the reward that Job had through this cross was that everything was restored and more. So he had another 10 children with that same wife. He had more cattle, more livestock, more riches, more material goods. So the Lord is a God of surprises. He's the God of smiles. He wants us to be happy here on earth. And at the same time, I'm not trying to preach the health and wealth gospel here. No, because again, that people will have to bear their cross. In fact, there is the saying that those actually, the people who are the ones who are suffering the most, believe it or not, those are the ones who God has more mercy on and has more favor. And actually gave more graces. So those are the people who actually could get the higher places in heaven than those people on earth whose life is just, they're cruising by. They're healthy, wealthy, you know, and everything's fine. As if they're getting their piece of heaven now, but those people who are not getting it now will get even better than what they would expect in heaven. And so have hope, dear brothers and sisters, that if you are one of those people who are widowed, who are orphaned, who are poor, who are unemployed, who are disabled, who have all, how life has gone sour from you, remember this quote, you can't go back and change the beginning, right? So just don't go, you know, the past is past. Don't blame your parents. Don't blame their teachers. Just leave it alone. Just drop the baggage. It says, but you can start where you are today, you know, give thanks to the Lord, right? For he is good and so start where you are and change the ending. So let's finish strong. And so this is where the Eagles are finishing strong. They finish with the Super Bowl. And now they're on the brink. It's Bird's Day. It's the beginning of the season. It's like, you know, our town's ecstatic here. You know, the nation's on edge, can't wait to see the beginning of football season. And so, I mean, there's a goodness in that as long as we take it in a certain moderation, right? I don't like the point where they make it seem like it's football eve and comparing it to Christmas, where, you know, the birth of our Savior, that is way better, of course. That's the ultimate compared to like the birth of a new season. So, but I kind of heard that and I was like, I don't know about using that term that it's football eve, you know? Anyway, that was last night when I heard that. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour. We got another half hour left here. So let's take a break and we'll get right into it and talk more about faith in football with Dr. Anton Raimundo here on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And thank you for staying on with us here on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And, you know, we really need sponsorship. If you have the courage enough to just call in and see if you can donate whatever you can, we would love that, or help sponsor. There's an upcoming golf outing on Columbus Day. I think that's October 13th, which happens to be the day of the sun, the miracle of the sun for Fatima, back in 1917. So you can call in and see if you can support this great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. I owe so much to her for helping heal me in my personal life with all the different things that I've been going through, and giving me this platform here to be on her radio network and be one of the broadcasters. So if you can please help support, whether it's my show or any of the great broadcasters on In His Sign Catholic Radio, so please do so and just call into the show. Look it up on the website there for In His Sign, and see if you can call in and make a donation. We're talking faith and football. So if you just joined us, I'm a big football fan growing up in San Francisco originally, and then moving here to Philadelphia. I've been living here in Philadelphia longer than I lived in California, so I'm a transplant, and I'm really more of a Philadelphian than anything else. Yes, I live out in Westchester, but I'm still a big Philadelphia fan, and especially the Eagles. One thing I wanted to make the connection with faith and football is when I did live in San Francisco, I remember Pope John Paul II visited San Francisco, and actually it was said that, the owner – revealed that he had the Pope go to the team, the 49ers back then, and bless them. I think this was like in, I don't know if it was 1979, 1980. It was right before they had this reputation where they changed their reputation from being the phony Niners, a losing team, to being the mighty 49ers. Super Bowl champions and dynasty. And they credited it from the blessing they had from Pope John Paul II. That's a little known fact, that it was that blessing. Now, fast forward, I move out here, and I hear, about some of the inside conversations about, from Nick Foles and some of these other people, the Eagles, how there is this Christian brotherhood that they would pray together. And I remember there was some sort of outing, an event that with the Eagles that some of the fans can go to. And it was really Christian oriented. The way I looked at it, I was like, wow, this reminds me of the teams that won, the 49er teams that won the Super Bowl. And lo and behold, that year the Eagles won that 2017 Super Bowl. I'm seeing the same thing right now with this team. I mean, like I said, they seem to have this focus that they said the past is past. I mean, if you listen to Jalen Hurts, you know, they said, oh, you're the reigning MVP, Super Bowl champion, and the team and so forth. And they all say, you know, Nick Sirianni, the coach, he gave this imagery. He talked to them on the team about looking through the rear view mirror and seeing the Super Bowl in the rear view mirror. And you can't drive forward by looking through the rear view mirror. Otherwise, you'll crash, right? You got to keep your eyes on the road, stay in your lane, and drive forward safely, right? So in the same way, the Eagles, you know, what I love is that this Nick Sirianni comes up with some words that really changes the mindset of the players. So he's really, if you look at it, not only just being a motivational speaker, but he's like preaching to them, isn't he? I mean, he's giving them some motivational speeches, but what he's doing is raising the level of these professional athletes instead of just being hunky, muscle-bound, superb, world-class athletes, that he raises the bar and raises their mind and their intellect. He actually, what it appears to me, that this is my interpretation of what Nick Sirianni is doing, that he's actually, he's going to the spiritual side of the players, and it's resonating and in them. So when they tell them, you know, that you can't be great without the greatness of others. And if you think about that, it's like, well, you can't be good without the goodness of others. And if you back up, where does that good come from? Anything good, like I said earlier in the first half of the show, anything good that you do comes from God. And so I think these players realize it's by the grace of God that they're doing good. And if they keep on acting like a family, keep on acting like a brotherhood, it seems like they'll die for each other. Literally, that if they're hurting, whether it's a back problem from Landon Dickerson or Cam Jurgens during the Super Bowl, look at the defensive end. I'm trying to remember his name. That he tore his tricep, you know, and it'll come back to me. That he didn't want to get out the game. He just said to put a brace on him, and he continued because the trainer or the doctor told him, "Well, that's it for you." And he just went in there and he said, "No, give me the brace." And I think the story goes, it's like, it says, "Are you sure?" He says, I'm not asking, I'm telling." So I think the trainer got scared and he just plopped on that brace and he went out there and still played. And so, so my point is they're warriors, but they also are willing to shed blood and to help their brothers in this fight to be victorious. And so this is the connection that I like to see, this analogy, that the same thing with how we see these men, how they're willing to really sacrifice their body to the point where they might bleed, they might break a bone. Of course, we don't want that to happen, but they put themselves at risk. And then the fans see their dedication and their passion. And so not only the fans, the city, the nation sees this, that our team is the most, you know, passionate out there. And they're well-traveled. They can, whether it's in Rio de Janeiro, whether it's London, Berlin, or any town or city in the United States, you'll see Eagles there if the Eagles are playing. That's what's amazing. Well, in the same sense, you know, what jerseys are we putting on as Catholic Christians? It's the crucifix. So, brothers and sisters, don't be ashamed to wear your crucifix, okay? We may call it a cross, but we know as crucifix, we know the crucifix is the cross with the body of Jesus on it, called the corpus. And in fact, we prefer and we are not ashamed of the crucifix, because St. Paul, biblically, he says, we preach Christ crucified, right? We preach Christ crucified, right? That which is a stumbling block to Jews and a foolishness to the Gentiles. I might have confused the foolishness or the stumbling block to the wrong group. But my point is, people find it like crazy, like what? You think that this symbol of the cross is no longer a curse? You think it's a sign of victory? Yes, you betcha, because Christ himself defeated death. And this is why, brothers and sisters, why we as Catholics should be loud and proud, just like how we are about the Philadelphia Eagles. We're loud and proud because what we have here is we who belong to the Catholic Church are in the church, the one true, holy, Catholic, apostolic church that was founded by God himself. Boom. Now, what other church can say that their founder is God himself? They may say, oh, it's Martin Luther. It may be John Calvin, John Wesley, Ellen G. White, Joseph Smith. You can Buddha, Muhammad, Moses, it could be Muhammad. Anyone out there, any good people who founded these different denominations or religions, but can any one of those, did they ever state or claim to be God himself, God incarnate, the Son of God? We know if anybody does, they will be a false prophet. The only one that did so and proved it was Jesus Christ himself, that his birth was prophesied. He prophesied his own death and how it would be, and that he would raise himself up on the third day, and he did it and was witnessed, and it was witnessed by people when he died, and he had witnesses when he rose from the dead, and that he was able to, walk through walls and read people's minds and hearts and ascend to heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and interceding for us. And so my point, brothers and sisters, we should be loud and proud about that we belong to the only church that God himself founded, namely Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Christ the King, Christ the Messiah, and this is our team that we belong to. And so there's only one team, actually, meaning there's only one church, right? Because if you think about it, that Jesus is the head of the church, and we are the body. What connects the head to the body is the neck, and that's the Blessed Mother. If it wasn't through her, God, Jesus, would not be able to come to the body, be connected to the body. He became incarnate and was born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So it was through her, Blessed Mother, the neck, that Jesus came through to the body. Now, because Jesus is the head of the church, it would be crazy to think that there are multiple heads on the one body. Or to think about it this way, it would be crazy to have one head and many bodies. You cannot have many bodies, right? Yes, they're Siamese twins, but right, they would have two heads, two bodies. Now, I don't know. I have to look in my old medical books to see if there's ever such a thing as one head, not two heads that fuse. I'm just saying one head with two bodies. I don't know about that. I doubt it. As a medical doctor, I'm not a geneticist or a pediatrician to be able to say about any of those anomalies. But my point is, it would be there would be no such thing to have one head and many bodies. So again, going to the analogy, which is in Scripture, Christ is the head and of the church, and so the church is his body. He cannot have many bodies. Therefore, there's only one church. And whose church is that? The church that Jesus, who is God, that he founded it. So only the Catholic Church is the only church, the one church. It would be that God himself founded. All the other so-called churches are not churches with the capital C. They're really called denominations. And those other non-Christian churches or non-Christian, those would be religions such as, you know, the Jewish religion, the Islam, and so forth. But again, they don't claim to be God or the Son of God or anything like that. And so anyway, so just like what I'm saying, we should be loud and proud that we belong to the one true, holy, Catholic, apostolic church, you know, founded through Jesus and spread through the apostles. And so, just like how we are, there's only one Philadelphia Eagles, right? You don't see other teams. Like, what team out there that has a chant like the Eagles, right? I mean, we have a great chant, a great motto. We have lyrics. We're not like the Chiefs that just make that chanting sound, and there's no words to it. And yes, they have that chopping sound, tomahawk. But you don't have other teams with the really valid or catchy tune or lyrics, from my opinion. Anyway, so one thing that I also just wanted to bring out here was, you know, connecting it up to the readings in the gospel. You know, in like I said, how the teams of they look at, it's like a brotherhood, a family. They see like Sirianni, and not that they say he's a father figure, but some of them treat him like that. And even some of the players look at other players as like a father figure, you know, whether it be like Lane Johnson or some other, like some of the Philly dogs there. They see some of the other player who acts, he's like an old soul. Now, I'm forgetting his name. I thought it's not coming to me. I'm sorry. I don't remember right at this point. But so my point is, I'm trying to make the connection here, is in the second reading of this Sunday's gospel, we have St. Paul from Philemon, okay? And he is calling himself a father. And I'm bringing this up because we know this scripture verse about Jesus, where Jesus says, call no man father. But do we take Jesus literally at that word, that we are not supposed to call even our own father, father? And to extend that, does that mean we Catholics can't call our priests father such and such? I mean, my own son is a Catholic priest. He's a pastor now. And this is his sixth year, and I don't call him father because he's my son, and I don't tell him to call me doctor either. You know, when I'm home, he calls me dad, and I call him son. I call him by his first name, which is Anthony, but I don't, you know. But my point is, here is St. Paul himself, right, in Philemon. He says, I, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you on my behalf of my child Onesimus. Now, what he uses the term child, this wasn't his flesh and blood child, okay? And he goes further. He says, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. So he's essentially saying he's a spiritual father. So here's proof positive that it is biblically correct to still call one's father a father, or what somebody who is a spiritual father, your father, such as a Catholic priest, because Saint Paul, which is an exemplar, right? He says that I urge you on behalf of my child Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. I send him, that is my own heart, back to you. In other words, he has a certain love for Onesimus, right? Who, if I recall the story, that he was an escapee and he's a prisoner, and the punishment for somebody who escaped is death. And so it looks like St. Paul has a certain brotherly love for him and a fraternal love, that he's asking people. He said, you know, like he says, basically, I'm in prison, and you know, here was a prisoner. He fled, and he can get killed, and I'm begging you because I love him. I mean, he didn't say those words, but you can tell. He says that that he's basically trying to convince Philemon that him to be no longer a slave. He actually says this. He says, St. Paul in Philemon, he says that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother. So he's urging Philemon and the people to take him back, not as a slave, not to have him punished, not to have him killed, but to treat him like a brother. And he says, and he goes on, but not to treat him as a slave or more, that he's more than a slave, he's a brother, a beloved especially to me. So he does say he loves him by saying the word, he's beloved especially to me, but even more so to you as a man and in the Lord. So Paul goes on and says, so if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. So he's really putting himself on the line, his reputation. He's saying that he's calling Onesimus his own child, that he looks at himself as a father. He looks at him as a brother, but somebody that he really loves. He addresses Onesimus as a man, but also a man in the Lord. And he's asking that, look, since you welcome me, welcome him like you welcome me. So this is how the family, how it extends that way. And so how does this connect with faith in football? Let me bring into the conversation the Eagle that I also have a great love and respect for, Michael Vick, right? He did something wrong, right? We did something atrocious. He repented. He made up for that, for having those dogs and stuff, you know, killing dogs and having those dog fights. And, you know, he was shamefaced for that and lost millions. But what did the Eagles do in a brotherly fashion with Andy Reid? They had him come to the Eagles and start brand new. Just like that quote I said, you can't go back and change the past or change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Michael Vick was given that chance. He restarted here in the Eagles. And he gave us some great moments, didn't he? Right, with he and DeSean Jackson, and so he changed his ending, and so he has a great reputation now. And I wish him all the best too, as him being a coach. I don't know if he won his first game or not. There is it in Virginia that he's coached? I forget the name of the team, and DeSean Jackson also for Delaware. But my point is that again. See how this quote fits in about faith and football from C.S. Lewis, and how this fits in with the second reading of St. Paul of Philemon, how he views Onesimus, and he actually looks at himself as father and uses the term father, thus also giving us the thought that, hey, it's not wrong to say, call somebody a priest as father. What Jesus is really telling us, he also says in those translations, like not to call a doctor, then you shouldn't call me a doctor. I shouldn't call myself a doctor. Or you shouldn't call somebody a teacher. So he's not saying that. He's actually saying that there is no other person that's God the Father, that is God besides himself. Remember how he was being told your mother, brother, and your sister is here, which actually was his cousins. Okay, he does not have any blood relatives, brother and sister, and so they're referring to his cousin, such as James, and I don't know who the women are, but James, Joseph, Shimon, and I think it was Philip. I think some of these actually were apostles, such as James. Let's go now to the gospel, and I only just have a minute or two, but here the shocking language is what I wanted to say was just that Jesus says that if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this is called hyperbole, my brothers and sisters. In other words, it's an exaggeration to stress a point, you know? And so he's not saying that you, I mean, he's not telling you to break the fourth commandment, to dishonor your father and mother and hate them. He's not trying to break the two golden commandments of not loving your neighbor, which means, you know, your wife, your children, your brothers and sisters, or even hating your own life. No, he's actually just trying to tell us that God is in the priority of our life, and that's what, if we're going to follow God, everything else goes first. So if ever there's arguments in the family, let's say about the faith, let's say about football, where some people in your family love football but won't go to church, and there's arguments about, hey, you watch football every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and what have you, and you never go to church. And then there's this big rift because they love, their God is football, but they don't go see and spend an hour in church with God himself. Well, again, the thing is, a person, who is their God? And this is what God is telling us, Jesus is telling us. Do you love football more than him? Do you love anybody else more than him? If that's how it is, you've got your priorities in the wrong place. So even though I was talking a lot about football today, football is not my God. I hope you guys can tell that as I've been doing these radio shows for how many years now, by the grace of God and through, you know, Kathleen McCarthy giving me this opportunity. But my point is that we, you know, with that passion that we have for football, I have the same passion for the faith, and I hope you catch that passion as well, because we should be loud and proud being a Catholic, and we should also be loud and proud being victorious with the Eagles. But more so here, we should have love for God himself, because he is our Lord and Savior, in love with the Holy Trinity. Make sure you visit him in adoration. Even just stop there for a minute just to say hello. Make sure you get to Mass every Sunday, but make sure you're not in mortal sin. In other words, if you broke a Ten Commandment, don't you dare get communion with a mortal sin on your soul. It's going to be worse for you that way. Go to confession first. Get that baggage off you. Right? Get rid of the past. You can't go back there, right? So you can start where you are, and you can change the ending. And so the beginning of the rest of your life is now. I know that's trite, but at the same time, it's true. Just like we're here on Birds Day, the beginning of the NFL season, if you have any love for the sports or what's going on with current events, with the news or locally, make this your day. Make this the beginning of, like, here, let's start brand new. You know, if your problem is that you put football as your God, well, then make sure you put it in the right priority, put God first. Because we can't, all the good that we ever do comes from God. We have to claim it, that it came from God, that we didn't do it. It's all by the grace of God. The only thing that we can claim that we ever did was our own sin, our own sinfulness. And this is why we, as a sinner, we need a Savior, and that be Jesus Christ, the Lord God, King of Kings, the Mighty One, the Holy One, and we praise him forever. And my time is up, and we thank the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, and In His Sign Catholic Radio for letting me be on the show. Again, this is Dr. Anton Raimundo on Sign, Sealed, and Delivered. God bless you all, and enjoy the rest of the night. Go Birds!